Thank you, Steve. And I also would like to welcome everybody here today. Good to see so many people here on this cold morning. And also welcome to anyone listening on the webcast. Greetings to you as well. Now, if you looked at the bulletin, you'll see that the title of this message is Looking Forward to Yesterday. Looking Forward to Yesterday. And that title might sound a little contradictory, but as I hope we'll find out, it could have a very special meaning to us in the future. I would like to start with a few questions. What did you do this morning? Now, most of us could answer that question with pretty much certainty. It's a Sabbath morning. They're quite similar to one another, and they involve whatever preparations we need to make to get ready to come to services, and then our travel time here to get here, and anything else, any snacks or other things that we had to prepare. We could all pretty much account for how we spent our mornings. How about what did you do this past week? Well, again, a lot of us anyway have kind of a set routine, our weekly routine, as far as work goes and chores around the house and any other activities. We have our jobs, families, and if we had any unusual highlights this past week, we could remember those as well. So I think we could come up pretty well to account for our past week. But how about if we try to go back even further than that? What did you do last month? Well, I did something, I know, but how about during the past year? Don't ask me about that. Yeah. And the further back we try to remember, the less clearly we can account for our time. Even if we keep a journal of some type, we still couldn't possibly account for every moment or even every day. Now consider our entire lifetime. Now, ignoring leap year days, each year of our life contains 365 days. That's 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes. And that means that, very roughly speaking, we live a little more than 500,000 minutes a year. So a 10-year-old would have lived about 5 million minutes, 20-year-old about 10 million, and so on. Now, if I were to try to account for the millions of minutes in my lifetime, I could give some fuzzy answers, but certainly no real details. There are a few incidents that stand out, at least in my own memory, but then I know a few times I've asked someone else who was there at the time, asked my brother or sister or someone, hey, remember the time when such and such happened? And I found that either they don't remember that incident at all, or they remember it, but not the way I described it. It didn't happen that way at all. They remember it quite differently. Well, to go back to the title then, how can we look forward to a past event, and why would we want to do so? So in this message, I'd like to give three reasons why I would like to go back and review my whole life. First of all, to better understand what really happened yesterday and every yesterday of my life, and what it might have meant to others around us, around me. Secondly, to recognize that we all have differing realities, so it helps us to know what others think about what happened. That helps us to understand more clearly what truly did happen. And thirdly, I'd like to review all the yesterdays of my life to make amends, to forgive others, to ask for forgiveness, and to share memories. So I'll go through and describe each of these, and hopefully make some sense out of it. First of all, to better understand my life's past, I would like to look forward to my life, all the yesterdays of my life, to better understand what happened and what it may have meant to others around me or around us. What really did happen yesterday or any of the yesterdays of our lives? As we grow older, prior time and events become more distant and more vague in our minds. The memories we may have of certain events may not be reality after all. If I think back in time, there are a few events that stick out in my mind that I'm relatively sure about. But then, as I indicated a couple times when I asked one of my siblings or relatives about one of those events, I got different responses back. Either they didn't remember it at all, they remembered it pretty much as I described it, or they remembered something that wasn't at all the same as what I remembered. And there were others who were around when I was growing up who may bring up events that I was completely unaware of. And when I hear of them, they may pop into my mind, or they may remain hidden from my memory. So what was the truth? What was the truth about our past lives? The book of James tells us, first of all, not to boast about tomorrow, that our life is just a vapor. And let's consider that passage. It's in James 4. I'll read verses 13 through 16, where it says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas," verse 14, "you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." So the time will come when we're in God's kingdom that we'll be able to visit directly with others who were alive throughout various time periods, not just of our own lives, but time periods throughout history. And I look forward to being able to find out about some of the vapor periods of my life. What was I doing when this part of my life that's just a vapor, what was I doing then? And how big a handful was I to my parents? I'm not sure I want to know that, but well, last week, services, of course, were canceled here, and I took opportunity to listen to the live webcast from Cincinnati and heard Mr. Steve Myers give a message called Advance That Mission. Maybe some of you listened to that as well. But in that message, he talked about visiting several different locations in the Philippines, including Manila and other places where we have churches. And he described the wonderful and enthusiastic welcome he received from the church members in those areas, as well as some others from the area who were not in the church, but they knew there was some kind of meeting, they were interested in it, and they came to listen. So he seemed to be almost overwhelmed to be among all these people and to receive this huge welcome that they gave him. And he said that he felt as if he were building a relationship with them, with these people that he didn't really know other than having met them in the few days he was there. And he referred to these relationships as eternal relationships that will last through eternity. So I hope to be able to go back and discover some of these eternal relationships with some of my own ancestors. And then in talking to them, be able to learn more about the true background of myself and my ancestral family. I wonder, as I said, about what kind of a child I really was. How did my parents ever put up with me? And I look forward to gaining a better understanding of what they were going through at that time in their lives. And I look back at some of the parents of young kids in our congregation here. Normally, they're in that back corner there, and I'm always so impressed about how well-behaved their kids are and what a patient job they do in raising their families. And I, at the same time, I wonder what others or whether others would have admired my parents when they observed them with me and my siblings. I guess maybe they did it most of the time, maybe, but I'm sure there were times when they didn't really admire what was going on at the time. So I try to remember back as far as I can. What can I really remember? And the earliest memory that comes to mind is kind of a vague instance of an iron on an ironing board, and there was a certain smell coming from it, and I thought something was burning, but I would have been about 2 or 3 years old then. I can't trust my memory on that. Maybe it was just the normal smell of an ironing on an ironing board. I do remember being in the hospital with a broken leg. I was between three and four at that time. And even back then, people really took sympathy on a small child in the hospital. I know that I made out quite well as terms as visits go and little gifts that people would bring me. I remember bringing home what seemed to be a big bag of gifts, presents that people had brought, just little things like colors and coloring books and tablets or anything like that. Another incident that comes to mind is when I was 4 years old. And I guess like all four-year-olds or all people at some time in their lives, they like to try and show off. And so I was showing off. We were sitting at the family table having a meal. And I was showing my parents how I could stand up on my chair and take a bowl of peaches and eat it while standing up. Well, that didn't work too well because I fell off the chair. And I broke the dish, and I made a big mess on the floor. And I got a cut on my hand in the process. I even have some of the remains of a scar from that incident, so I can look at that, and it brings me back to that time. That was a significant incident to me in a way, in that it stands out. But what was the rest of my early life, or all of my life, really like? I remember family stories, particularly stories that my dad told. He would talk about family members and friends from his earlier life. To me at the time, these were just meaningless stories of people I didn't know and wouldn't ever meet, and why did my dad always go back to this? I've heard that story before, but it doesn't mean anything to me. They were pretty boring to me when I was a child, but why didn't I give him and his stories more respect? I would like to hear those stories again now and find out who these people were, what was going on, why they were important to my dad. But the people he talked about were mostly just names. They were important to him, though. And my mother had a few stories as well, but she came from a smaller family, and I got to know most of them over the years, because we lived a little closer to them at various times in our lives. And being not that many of them, I could keep them all straight in my mind, who they were. But I look forward to actually meeting her ancestors. How did they affect her life and my own life? The only clues I have in this physical life are what I remember, what I've heard from relatives or others, and what I can learn from old pictures. But you can look at an old picture and it only gives a glimpse of one instant out of thousands of instances in a person's life. I look forward to knowing who these people were and what their lives were about and what they were thinking when that picture was taken, why they were all gathered there, what influence or similarities can I see from their lives that matches my own life? And we can probably all remember occurrences in our childhood where we're at some type of family gathering and some unknown older person says that, "Why, little David looks exactly like Uncle Charlie so-and-so did when he was that age." Was that a compliment? Or maybe on the other hand, was he giving me a sorrowful prediction of what he thought my life was going to be back, because Uncle Charlie may have been turned out to have been a terrible person, I don't know. But I want to find out. I want to know what was happening in the world during my ancestors' lifetimes and how those happenings affected them. I look forward to meeting the individuals in each branch of my family, the ones who made the decision to leave their home countries to settle in the U.S. And each of those individuals or families were leaving behind the only lives they had known, perhaps leaving other family members behind, knowing that they would likely never see them again. I would like to see them. My mother's parents were both born in the U.S., so they didn't have firsthand knowledge of what it was like to come over. But my father's parents were both born in Holland, my grandparents, and I knew my grandparents, of course. But neither of them ever went back to their ancestral homes. They just couldn't afford to go there, and they probably had no desire to go back there. But about 60 years after their families had come over to the U.S., I was able to visit the towns that they lived in as children. And they came over in the early 1900s, and I made this trip on the late 1960s. My grandmother's family home was in Uskert, and my grandfather's in Baflo. Those are both small towns in Holland. By the time I went there and made this visit, my grandfather had already died, so I couldn't share the photos with him. But I showed my grandmother the pictures of both of their towns. When I showed them to her, she didn't remember a thing. I think she was 6 or 7 years old when she left. She just had no memory left of them. She remembered that the town had a big windmill, and I took a picture of a windmill in that town, but it probably wasn't the same one. It was probably one that was built later, maybe in the 30s or sometime after they left. Now, in a similar way, as we have a connection with our family, we have a connection with our church families as well. And at some point, we or our parents or grandparents made a decision to join UCG or its predecessors. And that may have caused a family rift of some kind. But whatever rift is there will eventually be healed in God's kingdom. And I look forward to seeing that happening. Our physical lives are very short. We can't possibly get firsthand answers to these types of questions that I've been bringing up. But that was the first reason I looked forward to yesterday. The second reason is to ask forgiveness. There may be, I'm sure there are, reasons where I need to ask for forgiveness. I can think of many situations in my life where I acted wrongly or mistreated someone at some time, probably offended other people. I look forward to being able to apologize and to ask forgiveness for whatever wrong I might have done. And in the process of learning about my family and my own life, I will undoubtedly recognize many such situations. It's likely that in many cases, other people won't remember the same specifics that I do. Or maybe it was just a momentary incident in their lives, and it was much bigger in my own life. But in the same way, it's also possible that other people could bring up other offenses that I've completely forgotten about. things that may have been very minor in my own mind, but things that may have caused deep sorrow or hurt feelings to someone else. I'm sure there must have been many times in my life when I was acting kind of cocky toward other people, or rude or inconsiderate toward them, and didn't think anything of it. How often did I join others in mocking or making fun of someone else for no reason at all? How often did I ignore people who may have had the potential to become some of my best friends if I'd given them the chance? How many times did someone seek my friendship, but they were either too humble to ask or just felt like I didn't even value their lives at all? The Bible has things to say about this and about all these kinds of thoughts and incidents. In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, we're told that we need to be reconciled with others. Now, these verses are talking specifically about murder, but the same principle applies to other situations as well, even less serious violations such as I've been describing. I'll read Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." So in order for me or any of us to be reconciled to others, we need to be aware of these situations that might require reconciliation. So I look forward to finding out about what these situations may be and to make whatever amends may be necessary. Romans 8:26 has something to tell us. Romans 8:26, I'll just read 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we may not know what we need to pray for or pray about, but God knows, and he will make it known to us." In verse 27 it says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So God will provide forgiveness. I look forward to interacting with everyone in my past family or any other fellow beings whom I may have in any way offended. And in God's kingdom, I hope to make amends with others wherever necessary. So that was the second point. And then the third point, the third reason I look forward to yesterday, to seeing the people, places, occurrences of yesterday, is to be able to forgive others. In God's kingdom, there may be others who feel that they have offended me and who might seek forgiveness from me. Now, off the top of my head, I can't think of any situations where I've been so offended by someone else that they would have remembered it over several decades. But it is possible that someone else feels that they need to offer me an apology and will want to seek my forgiveness. And that person may have carried a sense of guilt in their minds for decades. And if that ever should be the case, I look forward to being able to learn about that person's offense and to offer my complete forgiveness to that person and to others. In God's kingdom, we will be with our eternal family, building eternal relationships. In the yesterday that I have been describing this message, we'll get to know many others and be able to develop bonds with them. Now, certainly our physical families and ancestry may be our primary targets at first, along with friends and acquaintances from our own lives, but God's kingdom goes way further than that. Think about standing on a busy street corner in any part of the world and watching the people. Those people are all strangers to us now, but they each have the potential to become part of our eternal family. I look forward to meeting them, getting to know them. I look forward to knowing people from yesterday and from all the yesterdays of my life. I look forward to developing eternal relationships with them. I look forward to meeting all of my own family, going back as far as it goes. And I look forward to meeting this Uncle Charlie, whoever he was, that someone may have thought I looked like and acted like. I'll be able to see whether they were actually right about that. So in this message, I've talked about three main points. The title, of course, was Looking Forward to Yesterday. The first point was finding out about what happened yesterday and in all the yesterdays of our lives. Second point was to ask for forgiveness from others that we may have offended in our lifetimes. And the third point was to be able to offer forgiveness to others. Now, God's kingdom is indeed a kingdom of eternal relationships, and we will have an eternity to build on them.